This episode is sponsored by Cards Against Humanity. They asked us not to read an ad. Enjoy!
It is the Chicagoverse podcast on the Dynasty Podcast Network, featuring interviews with Chicago's premier artists in industry and creatives and culture leaders. Hosted by Haima Black, welcome to Chicago.
Dynasty Podcast, broadcasting live from Dynasty Studios in Pilsen on the south side of Chicago. Haima Black here tonight, and I'm with Nolas Anderson. How are you doing, man?
Good. Doing well. How about yourself?
I'm good. So this is our first time really meeting. This is your first time being on the podcast. So thank you so much for coming up and taking time for this. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. I've actually been to a live filming of Dynasty Podcast
like
before.
A panel?
Yeah, we did? A panel.
Okay,
it was quite a while ago. A friend of mine, another photographer, Elise Swopes, I think she was on the panel.
Mm-hmm.
I came by and I was just kind of lingering in the shadows, so you probably never did.
Was that at the marketing agency in Fulton Market?
Yes.
Or the hotel in the Loop?
It was in the Fulton Market.
Okay, the
it was
Fulton
like
Market
wood
agency.
Yep. Everywhere.
Yeah, that was the Mosaic agency.
Yeah.
We did that with her, with Swopes, who's fantastic, and Dennis Lawrence and Chuck Anderson.
Yes, those
are mistaken.
All good friends.
Yeah, and it was just like the lineup on that was just staggering.
Side note, Chuck Anderson, hilarious.
Yes, great interview.
My name is Nolas. People don't know it's actually my middle name.
Okay.
My first name is Charles.
Oh, okay.
So me and Chuck have the same name. So we actually find it. We joke about that consistently.
He's a guy who I really like, and I always see his work online, and I'm always like glad that I've gotten to have him on the podcast as well. So yeah, we both like Chuck Anderson. But
shout out
but
no
for
pattern.
You, shout out Chuck Anderson. Shout out No Pattern. But for you, man, this is your first time coming up here. Like I said, our first time doing a face-to-face. And, you know, looking at your work, it's really, really impressive. And we're going to talk all about this great portfolio you have and your style and these projects you've done. But, you know, we always start at the beginning on this podcast for somebody's first time. Talk about how you kind of found your creative voice. When did you start becoming an artist, pick up a camera? When did this start to enter your life?
Well, I've kind of always been in the, I guess, like art scene or creative scene of Chicago since I was in high school. I guess it all started off when I started kind of hanging out around Leaders, 1354.
Oh, yeah. Shout out Leaders, man.
Yeah. Like
that's going back.
Yeah, it's going super back. Like back to the first one, 1354.
It was like
East
Leaders and RSVP.
Street. Well, it was before RSVP even came out. This was back when Leaders was in Hyde Park. It was
long.
So I was like literally in high school. So it was like ages ago. But yeah, back then I met Mike and Vic and Ty and Corey Gilkey and all of them. And they kind of got me into that scene. So that's kind of where it always started. I picked up my first camera. I picked up my first real camera probably about in 2008. Just randomly went to some pawn shop and got like a film camera for like $40. I still
that's
got
so
it.
Cool.
Still got it. I still
that's
use
such
it every
punk
once in a while.
Origin.
Yeah, I was like, it just started. Just like so, I technically started out shooting film. So I was doing that for a while, and then the first time I got my first digital camera was probably like a year later. Me and Vic actually got in a fight and broke my camera. So like, but he's like, Vic's like my big bro. So it was like, it was like a family fight, but he ended up breaking my camera. He felt bad. So he kind of helped me buy my first digital camera.
Wow.
So he put down money on it so I can actually afford it back then. So that was how I got my first kind of digital camera, which kind of gave me a little more flexibility because just back then, like film was even still now, film was just expensive.
It's expensive. Yeah.
And
absolutely.
I was just young and broke and couldn't afford it. So having that digital camera kind of really helped me out. So,
and so when you first pick up these first cameras, was it something you were just kind of like, oh, let me give this a try? Or did you have in your head already like, this is the thing, this is what I'm here to do?
No, back then it was just a hobby. Like back then, like Instagram was kind of just getting started off, and even a little bit before that, I think. And I was just doing it for fun. I didn't even know like you can make money off taking pictures.
I don't think anybody knew what Instagram was going to be back then.
Right. And even outside of Instagram, just like I just didn't know what being a true like photographer was, like full time.
That it could be a career.
Yeah. A career. Even out like outside of like the social media aspect of it.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, like back then I was just kind of, you know, going with the flow, doing what everybody does, go to high school, go to college. Like back then I've always been like I was always in the art scene, but I was always kind of like into like science and like stuff like that. So I actually ended up going to pharmacy school when I was after I finished college. So I did 3 years of undergrad, and then I went to grad school for pharmacy. And then I graduated with my doctor of pharmacy, and I worked
for, Oh my God.
And I was a pharmacist for like 2 years.
Wow.
So I did all of that. So I graduated when I was like 24, 25, something like that. And then I did that for 2 years. So while I was doing all of that in college, I was still shooting, but it was still just for fun. So like after like the 2 years of like the being a pharmacist and stuff, I took a break from it for a little while and kind of got more serious into my photography. And it kind of just kind of things just kind of fell into place. And
yeah.
I kind of just got like one gig after another, and like this turns into that, this turns into that. And now it's been like, well, it's been like 5 or 6 years now. so
that's amazing.
Keeping it moving. Yeah.
So, all right. So I love that you were kind of doing this other thing. You're doing pharmaceutical work, and then it just kind of like photography started happening for you.
Yeah, totally different spectrum.
So when you say that, like, you know, gigs started to kind of come in, or like projects started happening, like, was this when you already had a portfolio you were putting out, or how were those first initial connections happening?
I think it always has to do with, people always ask kind of that question just in regards to like how work comes to me or how I get to work sometimes. I think it always has to do with just networking. It's a little bit of networking. It's a little bit of luck, and it's a lot of bit of talent and skill.
Yeah.
So it's like I said, like I've been in the art scene since I was 16. So like as I got older, as I grew older, like the people that I knew were younger, they grew up to be other photographers, they grew up to be creative directors, they grew up to be producers or working at creative agencies and things like that. So it was kind of like those connections that kind of helped me at least open the door.
Yeah.
But it was, you know, the talent and the effort that I put in to help me keep those doors open. You know
yeah, well, and it's interesting. I teach a class at Columbia College that's built around freelancing, and I do talk about how, like, yeah, you might meet the person who's going to give you the shot, but it's like if you don't show up, if you don't deliver, and if you don't have the goods, you're not going to be able to stay.
Yeah,
you know? Yeah. And a lot of people are so focused on getting, and I understand, like, getting the foot in the door, but I don't think there's a near as much thought about, like, how do you stay in the game? How do you build that career with longevity?
Yeah, I tend to do a few workshops with, like, younger kids. Things of that nature, and they kind of always kind of ask me, like, what's, you know, a good point to start off with? And I always just tell them, just like the biggest thing I think I tell people, especially younger kids, is to get a circle of like-minded peers around you and grow together. So like my best friends are all like in Chicago. Like everybody who works at Fat Tiger, Rello, Joe, Dez, Vic, all of those dudes, I've known them for over a decade. We all grew up together, like in the city, started through leaders, like that kind of whole aspect. So we all kind of came up, and now everybody's doing great. They run their own store.
We could have a whole discussion about their victories. About that. Yeah.
So yeah, it's like having those people around me, not even including them, like even going back, like my homie's Davey, who does a lot of film. He's out in LA right now, but he did Davey Greenberg.
I was going to say, you're talking about Davey Greenberg. Yeah.
One of my best friends
for
almost over a decade. My boys from high school, Nez Rio, Aaron, like all of them, they're all doing great things right now. And just like having that circle around me just kind of helps keep me going. Like, it's not like we're in competition, but they just kind of help me. They kind of help push me to keep going. Like
every time I see
them doing something, it's like, oh man, now like I got to keep going.
Well, I feel like there's kind of two ways you can approach these things. Either you see other people doing things and you kind of just go like, well, fuck these guys, or not you, but like, you know what I mean? Like some people take that, or they go, oh shit, that's cool. Like I see everybody's like bringing their A game.
Yeah.
That makes me want
to
be better.
I take that energy and I use it to try to better myself.
Yeah. And I think that's absolutely the right way to go about it. Now, you know, we were talking a little bit about kind of what photography felt like, you know, let's say like a decade ago or so, give or take. But like now photography has become like, it's kind of like what DJing was maybe 7 years ago or blogging was 10 years ago. It's like the hot thing right now that a lot of brands are looking for. Like a lot of photographers are sort of like the new rock stars. Like, how does that feel? Like, do you notice that energy? Does it affect you at all? Or
it doesn't necessarily affect me. I think the occupation of photography has definitely like increased and it has become
like so sexy now,
very saturated over the last few years. I think that has a lot to do obviously with Instagram and social media and all of kind of that aspect, but it doesn't really affect me just in regard to the way that I'm not really like I wouldn't call myself like a very popular person on Instagram. Like I don't get me wrong, I have like a decent amount of followers, but I'm not like out here with like 50K, 100K, whatever. So like that's not necessarily like my main like way of you know, I guess getting resources or money from photography. I kind of go from the back end. Like I like doing like, you know, client based work with like agencies, magazines, newspapers. I don't really do like a more, I guess, quote unquote influencer type stuff.
Right.
I mean, I would love to, because it's, I mean, the more paths I have, the better. But
like, I mean, think of what you're describing though, like the agency work, the client work, like that's really smart, because then you have that portfolio and it's like you have that network.
Right. I have the network of just meeting all of these creative people who, you know, and a lot of times they'll end up leaving a creative agency, going to another creative agency, and then they'll bring me over there. And then I meet so many people. So like you kind of get to network and just kind of meet a lot more people at the same time. And also just me personally, I just kind of think that's where, from a financial standpoint, I think that's where money is. Creative agencies, yeah. Like, they have big budgets, man.
They do.
So it's
they
like,
work
like
with clients.
You get that stuff going, and you create that relationship, and you keep that relationship, and it just kind of flows on, and it just connects everywhere else.
Yeah. Well, I mean, let's talk about some of these projects. So, you know, looking at your website, it's really impressive. So looking at some of the projects that, what's up?
I need to update.
I think that's one of the hard things. It's like, it's really easy to keep like a social portfolio going, but it's like keeping the website current is a whole separate job.
Well, like nowadays, a lot of people, when they're looking at your stuff, they just go straight to your Instagram nowadays. So
yeah.
I do keep up with my website, but obviously I don't have to keep up with it as much, because, I mean, as long as it's clean and it still showcases like who I am as a photographer, it's fine. So I try to update it every 4 or 6 months.
It is clean. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So looking at some of these projects, you have a shoot you did with LeBron James. Like, what was bring us into this? I'm looking at nolasanderson.com right now.
Yeah. So this was a situation where, once again, it was a who you know kind of guy. Like, this was shot in LA. One of the producers for the shoot is from Chicago, and I worked with him in the past on Austin Vesely's Slice movie.
Oh, okay.
Shout out Austin Vesely.
Shout out Austin, yeah.
So he hit me up and contacted me and was like, yo, I got a shoot out here in LA. We needed a photographer to kind of come in and just kind of grab some candids while we're doing it, because it was also like a video aspect of it as well. And he was like, yeah, I was trying to think who it was. You're like, you're one of the first people I thought of, because, you know, I'm always trying to, you know, help out my Chicago homies. So like, this is kind of one of those situations where it's like you have those networks, you keep those networks, and, you know, at some point eventually it might, you know, work out for you. So that was cool. That was awesome. I really enjoyed it. He was there for a few hours. He was great.
Yeah.
Very professional. He wasn't like one of those, like, you know, sometimes like you meet the celebrity people and they're all like yelling and hurry up. And
right.
But he was super cool. He was like dancing the whole time. So he was cool.
I think that's what you want. Like, you want him to be what he seems like.
Yeah. He's what he seems like when you watch him like in his interviews. He's super chill dude.
That's pretty awesome. One of the things I thought was really cool, and I mean, this was a real moment when this happened. So Joe Freshgoods had the thank you Obama line. Chance modeled that, and I did not realize that you took the photos for this. You know, and you mentioned going back with all the Fat Tiger guys. So, like, talk about this project.
This was a really cool project. Definitely one of my favorites, just because, you know, everybody involved was from Chicago.
Yeah.
So, you know, the clothing, obviously, by Joe Freshgoods. Chance, who I've known since he was in high school, model for the shoot. Of course, we got Obama,
right,
whose house I literally ride my bike past all the time. and then I was the photographer. And so it was just like just a culmination of a lot of Chicago creatives who have come a long way to just kind of make this one piece. And no, it really came out awesome, and it spread like wildfire.
This was a huge moment.
It was everywhere. That's why I wasn't credited so much, because it flew around so fast. Nobody got time to ask who shot it. So everybody just so quick. Everybody wanted to get it up as fast as they could.
Right.
So people were just taking it, screenshotting it, and so it was just up everywhere. So
it really did live up to kind of that Kim K like break the internet kind of hype, where it's like there's so many things that brands try to be like, this is going to break the internet, but this really was a moment. Like, this was a big thing online.
Yeah, I did not expect for it to blow up as much as it did, but it went great. So I was very happy about it.
You did something with Nike, and I know Nike works with a lot of Chicago creative talent. Talk about working with them.
So Nike's a little different. Nike's actually one of the company, or Nike Chicago specifically. Mm-hmm. They're one of the companies that I kind of got my first start with. Another good friend of mine, amazing infamous photographer, aka Trash Hand. Mm-hmm. He was doing some stuff with them a while ago, and this was kind of like when I just had kind of left my pharmacy gig or whatever. And I was with him one day, and he had to go to the office, the Nike office. He had to go to the Nike office to do something or something. So I was with him. So I came along with him, to the office, met the people working in the digital department, introduced myself. And they were like, oh, you're Nolis. Like, we've been looking around for Chicago photographers, and you are on our list.
Yeah.
So, but the simple fact that, I just randomly went there with Trash one day. The fact that I got to meet them in person, I went from being on the list to being on top of the list. So I got a chance to kind of do some stuff with them. And that was a situation where it was just like that meeting opened the door, but just like my effort just kind of kept that door open. And because of that, I've been shooting stuff for Nike Chicago for about 5 or 6 years now.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I've shot the Chicago Marathon 4 years in a row. I've shot and creative directed an entire fall campaign for Nike Chicago. And then most recently, I just did the stuff with Virgil at the Nike Lab opening.
Yeah, so, that's a huge thing right
now. Yeah, so big shout out to Nike Chicago. Gave me a lot of good opportunities when I had first started shooting, getting eye freelancing. So
and I've got the Kors thing here as well that's open. And I guess my question with all these kind of things, because I talk to a lot of young creative artists, you know, and students at Columbia College, and I think for a lot of them, having any of these, let alone all these in their portfolio, would be a big deal. And I think for anybody who's at the beginning of their journey, who's young or who's looking to get started in something like this, like, what are some misconceptions about working with these big brands, whether it's a Kors or a Nike or even someone homegrown like, you know, Fat Tiger? But just like, what do people get wrong about this kind of work?
Well, I mean, I don't really know what people think about the certain things, honestly.
I just wasn't sure if you hear people think like, oh, my God, is it this kind of thing? And you're like, oh, no, it's not that.
I mean, it's not as maybe it's not as stressful as some would think it would be with the Coors Light stuff. The Coors Light stuff was actually a little different. I wouldn't necessarily call it a freelance opportunity. This was actually a situation where I took on an actual art directing job at Digitalis, but it was temporary. Specifically to do the Coors Light stuff. And it was just something I kind of wanted to do just because I had never actually worked at a creative agency before. So I just wanted to kind of do it and see how it was. So this is a good opportunity. It was only for like a few months and stuff like that. But I think it just depends on the situations. Like sometimes, like depending on what you're doing, like it could be some type of shoots where it's super strict and you have like, you know, you have like a whole, you know, monitor up so people can see the photos, and you have like the clients breathing on your neck and all this kind of stuff, just to make sure everything's right and going back and forth. Or it could just be super like chill and like, you know, they see your work, they trust and believe in your vision, and they just kind of let you do it. And I think that was basically how the Coors Light thing went. So they just kind of let me do my thing, and it fortunately worked out. I actually think we won like a Addy or something like
that. Wow.
I think it was like a creative. It was something for one of the, I don't even think it's on the website, but it was something for one of the Coors Lights ads that we did. They won like some Addy, the agency won like some Addy award or something like that.
That's huge.
Yeah, so it was cool. I should probably look that up and
that should be on the site.
I should probably put that on my portfolio.
You're burying the lead. You also have this publish tab, and you have photos that have been published in all sorts of platforms like The Reader, some of these newspapers that I can't read New York Times, yeah, GQ, stuff like this. So, like, you know, are you sending these shots out? Are you getting, you know, commissioned by somebody like The Reader to take photos of you viewing, or how did some of these come together?
For The Reader, I would get commissioned. Some of the people who run, like, the photo department at The Reader, shout out Jamie, they would hit me up and, you know, tell me about particular story, and they tend to bring me, I guess, like articles or stories that I guess fit my style, aka portraitures, things like that, shooting people. Yeah, so anytime she sees something like that, she'll just kind of shoot it out to me and see if it's different situations. New York Times, so, I mean, technically, I'm a consistent contributor to New York Times. I shoot for them fairly frequently, I guess. I don't know how definition of frequently is, but yeah, so I remember they contacted me probably earlier in the year or sometime last year for my first assignment, and I was super hyped.
Yeah, it's big. I mean, that's a big, yeah.
Yeah, super hyped. Saw an email from New York Times and I got super hyped. So I was really stoked on that. It was cool for me because it was my first assignment. I had actually ended up traveling to like three different cities to work on the assignment. I think if you go to the, I think it made the... It made the first page of the National section.
Yeah, I see that.
So it was like a whole first, like the whole first page was like that, and that was like my first assignment. So it was super
big
tight.
Look.
Yeah. So I really liked that. I really liked just the aspect of just shooting more photojournalism, just because I think that like outside of just taking the pictures, they also just kind of have like a deeper story behind them as well. So I kind of really like that aspect about it. So just working with them really kind of got me into doing a little bit more photojournalism stuff as well. So
I mean, you have this really impressive body of work here. And I mean, we could go through each tab, but it's like, I think it's pretty clear that you have this accomplished portfolio, you know, as somebody who seems to be pretty, you know, self-managed and is doing a lot of freelance work. Like, what are the ups and downs of that? Like, what do you like about it? And then what makes it difficult?
I mean, definitely being self-managed is probably, a worrisome thing sometimes. I think more so nowadays just because I'm getting, I guess, more bigger projects recently. So, you know, kind of handling all of that stuff and all of the logistics regarding to those things, like, are getting a little bit harder. Just, you know, in regards to just kind of, you know, figuring out different things. And sometimes they email me stuff and I don't know what it means. So I have to like Google it and figure out what they're talking about.
Sure.
And
just to stay in the conversation.
So I don't sound stupid. And so, right. You know, I literally just had somebody the other day, like I had a conference call for some project and they were like, oh, do you have like a representative that we should talk to? I'm like, no, it's just me. So it's like, you know, so like stuff like that can be a little, you know, it's new. So it's like, you know, I've been shooting for 6 years, still like sometimes, you know, the further I go, you know, the more new things I kind of see. So it's all still new. And then just like the ups and downs of just being a freelancer, like it comes in waves.
Yes, it does.
It comes in waves, man. One month I'm swamped and working the whole month. And one month I like got like one assignment and I made like not that much money. And
right.
It's
yeah.
like, oh man, I'm like, oh man, it's finally over. I got to go back to being a pharmacist now. Like, so it's like, it goes, it has its ups and downs. So I think those are just kind of the things you just have to be aware that that's going to occur,
right?
And kind of just like, you know, handle yourself accordingly, just especially in regards to like finances and stuff like that. Like, you'll have one month where you'll make, you know, a decent amount, and you know, I just, you know, make sure like, yo, don't go crazy because
right.
you don't know
because
what's gonna happen next month.
Yeah,
you don't know what's gonna happen next month. So you know, things like that. So you just kind of, I think those are the two biggest things, just kind of self-managing yourself and just kind of just being aware of the highs and lows of just work coming in.
I'm always interested in asking that question, not only because I teach a class about this kind of thing, like I said, at Columbia College, but it's just like I've been doing freelance and kind of like part-time and contract and blah, blah for, you know, more or less my whole professional life. And everything you just said rang true. It's like you have the good months, you have the bad months, you have the uncertain months where it's like, I think we're going to do this. And, man, I think it's just so interesting to hear other people's perspectives on that, especially like you mentioned the financials, because I think a lot of creative artists either are not interested in learning the financials, or maybe they're intimidated by the financials, or they just genuinely don't know where to start with that.
I think sometimes it's a little bit of both. I've fortunately have a father who's very on it when it comes to like finances. So I've just from being little, I've always had the mentality of just like, I don't like owing anybody anything.
Sure.
So I just always make sure I'm good on my end. So like if I like even like a lot of people who like know me from back like when my pharmacy stuff was, so like sometimes I'll get the whole, oh, you know, you kind of had like an easy start because you were a pharmacist and you had some pharmacy money kind of sitting there. And I'm like, no, not really, bro. I'm like, I paid off all my student loans like immediately. I like bought a car, like rent all that stuff. All that pharmacy money was basically gone when I started my freelance and stuff. So it was more so about me just kind of being smart in the beginning and just kind of, I was like still living like a college student.
It's so interesting you say that, where it's like, it's this kind of like dual feeling of, I think, not owing people money, because on the one hand, when you pay all your bills and you pay everything, you're like, cool, that's behind me. And then you look at your bank and you're like, well, fuck. Like, you know?
I mean, yeah. But I mean, it's just one less thing you have to worry about. Is people on your back asking you for money. So, like, yeah. Like,
it's true.
when I pay for stuff, I always pay for my credit card, but I always make sure I got it in my, you know, I always got it in my checking account to cover it. So that's just my mentality.
I mean, I think that stuff's really important. That's the real side of being a freelancer, man. But it's like you have this fantastic portfolio. Like I said, you've got these great projects here that are very apparent on your site. What's something that you haven't gotten to yet, or that hasn't come your way, that you haven't done, that is kind of like still on your vision board, you know?
I think I want to go, I'd like to go a little bigger into the photojournalism aspect. I'm still very new to it, so obviously I've only been doing it for over like less than a year. So I mean, I'd love to get an opportunity to just do some bigger projects in regards to those things, but I guess with that just comes, you know, taking my time, putting in my work, you know, doing my grind, and, you know, doing what I can until I get that opportunity. Also, just kind of just doing, I guess, larger budget projects, but not necessarily for the reason of, you know, like, you know, bigger checks or whatever. I mean, that's nice, but just larger budgets just so I can be able to experience what those are like. Like, I've been on a few as like the second photographer or an assistant photographer for different companies where, you know, they have, you know, full pre-light days where you go in the day before, they light up everything at every position. They know exactly what they're going to do the day before. And they have like a, you know, 10, 15 person team that they're working with. Like, I would love to do more stuff like that, or even just see more stuff like that, just so I can learn more about just that kind of direction.
Because that's the big side of it.
Yeah, that's what kind of I would want to go to it. I mean, in all actuality, like, as a freelancer, I think the dream as a freelancer is to, like, be able to do 4 to 5 huge projects a year. And then the rest of the year, you can just work on your personal work. Like, that would be, that would be the ideal life. So, I mean, at some point, I would love to get to that level. So, I mean, but, you know, you can't get to that level unless you learn. So
you put in the work.
Yeah. So I, you know, I just want to be able to get myself in a position to just do bigger things. So, like, even like the thing, like the LeBron shoot, the thing was huge. It was a big production, and I got a chance to just kind of see. I was like, so when I wasn't working, I was just like sitting back and just watching and, you know, seeing how people, you know, seeing how people communicate with, like the subjects, or how they communicate with people behind them, and like all that kind of stuff that comes with it. So
just learning from the whole process. Yeah. And I mean, it sounds like so much of your career has been self-taught, and clearly that's working for you.
Right.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's self-taught, man, but it was a lot of research. So it was like, you know, I try to, like, you can ask, like, people all the time if they see me or they're hanging around me, like, I'm watching photo stuff on YouTube or listening to, like, really boring camera podcast, like, all
but that's the best
time.
Way to learn is just to always be like, what else don't I know?
I always just have it kind of on, just because you never know, like, when you'll learn something else that might help you out. So
yeah, absolutely, man. If somebody, you know, a brand or an individual or a collaborator, an artist, if somebody wants to get in touch with you, are you looking for, you know, people to reach out, and how can they do that?
Yeah, you can reach out to me, nolasanderson.com. I have like a contact link on there. You can go to my email, Nolis Photo. By the way, Nolis is N-O-L-I-S. I know it's not the most common name. So yeah, nolisphoto@gmail.com, nolasanderson.com. My Instagram and my Twitter is Nolis. Also, just a shout out, I also just opened up a studio.
Yeah.
So I just opened up a studio space at the beginning of June with two other very great photographers.
Where is this?
It's in Bridgeport. It's like right across the street from
the
Joby Center.
Was this with Michael?
Mike and Alina?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's called South Facing Windows.
Yeah.
So that's the name of the studio. So we just opened it up June 1st. So that's kind of one of the big things I've been working on recently for the last few weeks.
I want to come check that out. I love Bridgeport. That's a fantastic neighborhood.
You know what? And I live like in Brownsville, so I'm like right on the other side of the expressway, but I'm rarely in Bridgeport. But now that I'm over there, I'm like driving around. It's actually, it's really nice over there.
It's cool. Very interesting. I used to live over there, and I love that neighborhood. If you haven't been, let me give you the best two tips in Bridgeport. Martina Supermarket. Have you been there yet?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Martina Supermarket, 32nd and Morgan. Anybody listening?
Okay.
The best steak tacos in Chicago, bar none. And then Franco's Restaurante, it's an Italian place on 31st near whatever Sox Field is called at this point. Just the best
I don't even want to say it.
Pasta in the city.
Okay.
But Bridgeport, like, underrated hidden food gem.
Yeah,
in Chicago.
Also Phil's Pizza, apparently.
Yes, yeah, Phil's Pizza over there,
so
too.
So my studio is literally across the street.
Okay, I know the building you're talking about.
I finally went there the other day, and it's pretty good.
Yeah, not that's awesome, man.
But they don't open until like 4 o'clock, which is great.
That's killer, though. And can people come check out the studio, or is it by appointment only? How does that work?
Yeah, it would be by appointment. So if you have any questions, you can either contact me or you can contact South Facing Windows. Our Instagram is just at South Facing Windows. So, yeah, but yeah, definitely by appointment only. But I mean, you know, if you're the homie, just pull up.
That's awesome, man. Great work happening. The website is nolisanderson.com, N-O-L-I-S Anderson, and at Nolis on Instagram, man. I'm really glad we got to start this conversation tonight. I really appreciate you taking the time to come up here, man. Thank you so much for being here on the podcast.
No, thank you, man. I appreciate the opportunity.
You've been listening to a production of Dynasty Podcasts. Find more Dynasty Podcasts at dynastypodcast.com. For the Dynamic Dynasty, Dynasty Descend.